Polixenes, king of Bohemia, has been on a visit to his boyhood friend, Leontes, king of Sicilia.
9 changes of the watery star hath been the shepherd's note since we have left our throne without a burden. Time as long again would be filled up, Leontes, with our thanks, and yet we should for perpetuity go hence in debt. And therefore I multiply with 1, we thank you, many thousands more that go before it.
Stay your thanks a while and pay them when you part.
Sir, that's tomorrow. I am questioned by my fears of what may chance or breed upon our absence. Besides, I have stayed to tire your royalty.
We are tougher, brother, than you can put us to it.
No longer stay.
1 7-night longer.
Press me not, beseech you so. There is no tongue that moves, none in the world so soon as yours could win me. My affairs do even drag me homeward. Farewell, our brother.
Tongue-tied, our queen. Speak you.
I had thought, sir, to have held my peace until you had drawn oaths from him not to stay. You, sir, charge him too coldly. Tell him you're sure all in Bohemia's well. The satisfaction the bygone day proclaimed, say this to him, he's beat from his best ward.
Well said, Hermione.
To tell he longs to see his son was strong. But let him say so then and let him go. But let him swear so and he shall not stay. We'll thwack him hence with distaffs. Yet of your royal presence I'll adventure the borrow of a week. When at Bohemia you take my lord, I'll give him my commission to let him there a month behind the jest prefixed for parting. Yet good deed, Leontes. I love thee not a jar or the clock behind what lady she her lord. You'll stay?
No, madam.
Oh, nay, but you will.
I may not, verily.
Verily. You put me off with limber vows, but either you would seek to unsphere the stars with oaths, should yet say, sir, no going. Verily you shall not go. A lady's verily is as potent as a lord's. Will you go yet? Force me to keep you as a prisoner, not like a guest. So you shall pay your fees when you depart and save your thanks. How say you, my prisoner or my guest? By your dread, verily, one of them you shall be.
Your guest, then, madam. To be your prisoner should import offending, which is for me less easy to commit than you to punish.
Not your jailer, then, but your kind hostess. Come, I'll question you of my lord's tricks and yours when you were boys. You were pretty lordlings, then?
Too hot. To mingle friendship far is mingling bloods. I have tremor cordis on me. My heart dances, but not for joy. Not joy.
What we changed was innocence for innocence. We knew not the doctrine of ill-doing, nor dreamed that any did. Had we pursued that life and our weak spirits ne'er been higher reared with stronger blood, we should have answered heaven boldly, not guilty. The imposition cleared hereditary ours.
By this we gather you have tripped since.
But to be paddling palms and pinching fingers as now they are, and making practice smiles as in a looking glass, and then to sigh as twere the mort of the deer. Oh, that is entertainment my bosom likes not, nor my brows. Is he won yet?
He'll stay, my lord.
At my request he would not. Hermione, my dearest, thou never spokest to better purpose.
Never?
Never but once.
What have I twice said? Well, when was before? My last good deed was to entreat his stay. What was my first? It has an elder sister, I mistake you. Would her name were Grace. But once before I spoke to the purpose, when? Nay, let me have it, I long.
Why, that was when 3 crabbed months had sarved themselves to death, ere I could make thee open thy white hand and clap thyself my love. Then didst thou utter, I am yours forever.
Oh, 'tis Grace indeed. Why, lo, you know I have spoke to the purpose twice. The one forever earned a royal husband, the other for some while a friend.
What cheer? How is't with you, best brother?
You look as if you held a brow of much distraction. Are you moved, my lord?
No, in good earnest. Hermione, how thou lovest us, showing our brother's welcome. Let what is dear in Sicily be cheap. Next to thyself and my young rover, he is a parent to my heart.
If you would seek us, we are yours of the garden. Shall's attend you there?
To your own bent's disposal, you'll be found, be you beneath the sky. I'm angling now, though you perceive me not how I give line. Go to. How she holds up the neb of the bill to him, and arms her with the boldness of a wife to her allowing husband. Gone already, inch thick, knee deep, or head and ears a forked one. What, Camillo there?
I am a good lord.
Camillo, this great sir will yet stay longer.
You had much ado to make his anchor hold. When you cast out, it still came home.
It's noted.
He would not stare at your petitions, made his business more material.
Didst perceive it? They are here with me already, whispering, rounding, Sicilias, and so forth. It is far gone, and I shall gust at last. How came Camillo that he did stay?
At the good queen's entreaty.
At the queen's be it. Good should be pertinent, but so it is not. Was this taken by any understanding fate but thine? for thy conceit is soaking, will draw in more than the common blocks. But notedest that of the finer nature, by some severals of headpiece extraordinary, lower messers perchance out of this business purblind. Say.
Business, my lord? I think most understand Bohemia stays here longer.
Huh?
Stays here longer.
Aye, but why?
To satisfy your highness and the entreaties of our most gracious mistress.
Satisfy? The entreaties of your mistress? Satisfy? Let that suffice. Had not you seen, Camillo, that's past doubt you have, or your eyeglass is thicker than a cuckold's horn, or heard? For to a vision so apparent, rumor cannot be mute. Or thought? For cogitation resides not in that man that does not think. My wife is slippery. If thou wilt confess, or else be impudently negative, to have nor eyes, nor ears, nor thought, then say my wife's a hobby horse, deserves a name as rank as any flax wench that puts two before a troth plight, sate and justified.
I would not be a stander-by to hear my sovereign mistress clouded so without my present vengeance taken. Shrew my heart, you never spoke what did become you less than this, which, to reiterate, were sin as deep as that, though true.
Is whispering nothing? Is leaning cheek to cheek? Is meeting noses? Kissing with inside lip? Stopping the career of laughter with a sigh, a note infallible of breaking honesty? Horsing foot on foot? Skulking in corners? Wishing clocks more swift, hours, minutes, noon, midnight, and all eyes blind with the pin and web, but theirs, theirs only, that were unseen but wicked, is this nothing? Why then the world and all the sin is nothing. My wife is nothing, nor nothing have these nothings, if this be nothing.
Good, my lord, be cured of this diseased opinion, and betimes, for 'tis most dangerous.
They be, it is true.
No, no, my lord.
It is, you lie, I say thou liest, Camillo, and I hate thee. Pronounce thee a gross lout, a mindless slave, or else a hovering temporizer, that canst to thine eyes at once see good and evil, inclining to them both. Were my wife's liver infected as her life, she would not live the running of one glass.
Who does infect her?
Why, he that wears her like a medal hanging about his neck, Bohemia, who, if I had servants true about me, that bear eyes to see alike my honours, their profits, their own particular thrifts, they would do that which should undo more doing. Aye, and thou, his cupbearer, whom I from meaner form have benched and reared to worship, who may see plainly as heaven sees earth and earth sees heaven, I am gold, might bespice a cup to give mine enemy a lasting wink, which draught to me were cordial.
Sir, my lord, I could do this, and that with no rash potion, but with a lingering dram that should not work maliciously like poison. But I cannot believe this crack to be in my dread mistress, so sovereignly being honorable.
Dost think I am so muddy, so unsettled, to appoint myself in this vexation? Sully the purity and whiteness of my sheets, which to preserve is sleep, which being spotted is goads, thorns, nettles, tails of wasps, gives scandal to the blood of the prince my son? Who I do think as mine and love as mine, without right moving to it, would I do this? Could man so blench?
I must believe you, sir. I do. And will fetch off Bohemia for it. Provided that when he's removed, your highness will take again your queen as yours at first, even for your son's sake, and thereby forestalling the injury of tongues in courts and kingdoms known and allied to yours.
Thou dost advise me, even so as I mine own course have set down. I'll give no blemish to our honour, none.
My lord, go then, and with a countenance as clear as friendship wears at feasts, keep with Bohemia and with your queen. I am his cupbearer. If from me he have wholesome beverage, account me not your servant.
This is all. Do it, thou hast the one half of my heart. Do it not, thou splits thine own.
I'll do it, my lord.
I will seem friendly, as thou hast advised me.
Oh, miserable lady. But for me, what case stand I in? I must be the poisoner of good Polixenes, and my ground to do it is the obedience to a master, one who in rebellion with himself will have all that are his, so too. To do this deed, promotion follows. If I could find example of thousands that had struck anointed kings and flourished after, I'll not do it. But since nor brass, nor stone, nor parchment bears not one, let villainy itself forswear it. I must forsake the court. To do it or no, is certain to me a breakneck. Happy star, reign now. Here comes Bohemia.
This is strange. Methinks my favor here begins to warp. Not speak.
Good day, Camillo.
Hail, most royal sir.
What is the news in the court?
None rare, my lord.
The king hath on him such a countenance as he had lost some province, and a region loved as he loves himself. Even now I met him with customary compliment when he, wafting his eyes to the contrary and falling a lip of much contempt, speeds from me, and so leaves me to consider what is breeding the changes thus his manners.
I dare not know, my lord.
How dare not? Do not? Do you know and dare not? Be intelligent to me, 'tis thereabouts. For to yourself what you do know, you must and cannot say you dare not. Good Camillo, your changed complexions are to me a mirror which shows me mine changed too. For I must be a party in this alteration, finding myself thus altered with it.
Sir, I will tell you, since I am charged in honour and by him that I think honourable. Therefore, mark my counsel, which must be even as swiftly followed as I mean to utter it, or both yourself and me cry lost, and so good night.
On, good Camillo.
I am appointed him to murder you.
By whom, Camillo?
By the king.
For what?
He thinks, nay, with all confidence, he swears that he had seen to have been an instrument to vice you to it, that you have touched his queen forbiddenly.
Oh. Then my best blood turn to an infected jelly, and my name be yoked with his that did betray the best.
Swear his thought ever by each particular star in heaven and by all the influences. You may as well forbid the sea for to obey the moon, as, or by oath remove or counsel shake, the fabric of his folly, whose foundation is piled upon his faith and will continue the standing of his body.
How should this grow?
I know not, but I'm sure it is safer to avoid what's grown than question how it is born. If, therefore, you dare trust my honesty that lies enclosed in this trunk, which you shall bear along, imporned, away tonight. Your followers I will whisper to the business, and will by twos and threes at several posterns clear them of the city. For myself, I'll put my fortunes to your service, which are here by this discovery lost. Be not uncertain, for by the honour of my parents I have uttered truth, which, if you seek to prove, I dare not stand by. Nor shall you be safer than one condemned by the king's own mouth, there on his execution sworn.
I do believe thee. I saw his heart in his face. Give me thy hand. Be pilot to me, and thy places shall still neighbor mine. My ships are ready, and my people did expect my hence departure 2 days ago. This jealousy is for a precious creature. As she's rare, must it be great? And as his person's mighty, must it be violent? And as he does conceive he is dishonored by a man which ever professed to him, why, his revenges must in that be made more bitter. Fear o'ershades me. Good expedition be my friend, and comfort the gracious queen. Part of his theme, but nothing of his ill-tained suspicion. Come, Camillo. I will respect thee as a father if thou bearest my life off. Hence, let us avoid.
It is in mine authority to command the keys of all the posterns. Please, your highness, to take the urgent hour. Come, sir, away.
Was he met there? His train. Camillo with him?
Behind the tuft of pines I met them. Never saw I men scour so on their way. I eyed them even to their ships.
How blessed am I in my just censure and my true opinion. Camillo was his help in this, his pander. There is a plot against my life and my crown. All's true that is mistrusted. That false villain whom I employed is pre-employed by him. He has discovered my design, and I remain a pinched thing, yea, a very trick for them to play at will. How came the postern so easily open?
By his great authority, which often hath no less prevailed than so on your command.
I know too well. Give me the boy. I'm glad you did not nurse him. He does bear some signs of me, yet you have too much blood in him.
What is this sport?
Bear the boy hence. He shall not come about her. Away with him. Let her sport herself with that she's big with, for 'tis Polixenes has made thee swell thus.
But I'd say he had not. And I'll be sworn you would believe my saying, howe'er you lean to the nayward.
You, my lords, look on her, mark her well. Be but about to say she's a goodly lady, and the justice of your hearts will thereto add, 'tis pity she's not honest, honourable. When you said she's goodly, these shrugs, these hums and ahs come between. Now you could say she's honest. But be it known, from him that has most cause to grieve it should be, she's an adulteress.
Should a villain say so, the most replenished villain in the world, he were as much more villain. You, my lord, do but mistake.
You have mistook my lady for Polixenes for Leontes. I have said she's an adulteress. I have said with whom. More, she's a traitor. And Camillo is a federary with her, and one that knows what she should shame to know herself, but with her most vile principle, that she's a bed-swerver. even as bad as those at Valgas give Volt's titles. I am privy to this, their late escape.
No, by my life, privy to none of this. How will this grieve you when you shall come to clearer knowledge that you thus have published me? Gentle my lord, you scarce can write me truly then to say you did mistake.
No, if I mistake in those foundations which I build upon, the centre is not big enough to bear a schoolboy's top. Away with her to prison. He who shall speak for her is afar off guilty, but that he speaks.
There's some ill planet reigns. I must be patient till the heavens look with an aspect more favourable. Good my lords, I am not prone to weeping as our sex commonly are, the want of which vain dew perchance shall dry your pities. But I have that honourable grief lodged here which burns worse than tears drown. Beseech you all, my lords, with thoughts so qualified as your charities shall best instruct you, measure me. And so the king's will be performed.
Shall I be heard?
Who is that goes with me? Beseech your highness, my women may be with me, for you see my plight requires it. Do not weep, good fools, there is no cause. When you shall know your mistress has deserved prison, then abound in tears as I come out. This action I now go on is for my better grace. Adieu, my lord. I never wished to see you sorry. Now I trust I shall. My women, come. You have leave.
Go, do our bidding. Hence!
Be certain what you do, sir, lest your justice prove violence, in the which three great ones suffer, yourself, your queen, your son.
For her, my lord, I dare my life lay down, and will do, sir, please you to accept it, that the queen is spotless.
Hold your pieces!
Good, my lord!
It is for you we speak, not for ourselves. You are abused, and by some putter-on that will be damned for it. Would I knew the villain.
Antigonus, either thou art most ignorant by age, or thou art born a fool. Camillo's flight, added to their familiarity, doth push on this proceeding. Yet, for a greater confirmation, for in an act of this importance, the most piteous to be wild, I have dispatched in post to sacred Delphos, to Apollo's temple, Cleomenes and Dion, whom you know of stuff sufficiency. Now from the oracle they will bring all, whose spiritual counsel had shall stop or spur me. Have I done well?
Well done, my lord.
Though I am satisfied and need no more than what I know, yet shall the oracle give rest to the minds of others, such as he whose ignorant credulity will not come up to the truth. So we thought it good from our free person she should be confined, lest that the treachery of the two fled hence be left her to perform. Come, follow us. We are to speak in public, for this business will raise us all.
To laughter, as I take it, if the good truth were known.
Paulina, wife of Antigonus, visits the queen in prison.
The keeper of the prison called to him, let him have knowledge who I am.
Good lady, no court in Europe is too good for thee. What dost thou then in prison?
Now, good sir, you know me, do you not?
For a worthy lady and one whom much I honour.
Pray you then, conduct me to the queen.
I may not, madam. To the contrary, I have express command.
Yes, I do. To lock up honesty and honor from the access of gentle visitors. It's lawful, pray you, to see her women. Any of them? Amelia?
So please you, madam, to put apart these your attendants. I shall bring Amelia forth.
I pray now call her. Withdraw yourselves.
And madam, I must be present at your conference.
Well, be it so. Prithee.
Here's such a do to make no stain a stain as passes colouring.
Dear gentlewoman, how fares our gracious lady? As well as one so great and so forlorn may hold together. On her frights and griefs, which never tender lady hath borne greater, she is something before her time delivered. A boy? A daughter, and a goodly babe, lusty and like to live. The queen received much comfort in't. Says my poor prisoner, I am innocent as you.
These dangerous, unsafe loons of the king, beshrew them. He must be told on't,
and he shall. The office becomes a woman best, I'll take't upon me. If I prove honey-mouthed, let my tongue blister, and never to my red-looked anger be the trumpet any more. Pray you, Amelia, commend my best obedience to the queen. If she dares trust me with her little babe, I'll show't the king, and undertake to be her advocate to the loudst.
We do not know how he may soften at the sight of the child. The silence often of pure innocence persuades when speaking fails. Tell her, Amelia. I'll use that tongue I have. If wit flow from it, as boldness from my bosom, let not be doubted, I shall do good.
Madam, he hath not slept tonight, commanded none should come at him.
Not so hot, good sir. I come to bring him sleep.
What noise there, ho?
No noise, my lord, but needful conference about some gossips for your highness.
How? Away with that audacious lady. Antigonus, I charge you that she should not come about me. I knew she would.
I told her so, my lord, on your displeasure's peril and on mine, she should not visit you.
What? Canst not rule her?
From all dishonesty he can. In this, unless he take the course that you have done, commit me for committing honor, trust it, he shall not rule me.
La, you now, you hear? When she will take the rein, I let her run, but she'll not stumble.
Good, my liege, I come, and I beseech you hear me, who professes myself your loyal servant, your physician, your most obedient counselor. Yet the dares less appear so in comforting your evils than such as most seem yours. I say I come from your good queen.
Good queen?
Good queen, my lord. Good queen. I say, good queen. And would by combat make her good, sir, were I a man, the worst about you.
Force her hence.
Let him that makes but trifles of his eyes first hand me. On mine own accord I'll off, but first I'll do my errand. The good queen, for she is good, hath brought you forth a daughter. Here it is. Commends it to your blessing.
Out, a mankind witch, hence with her, out of the door, a most intelligencing bawd.
Not so. I am as ignorant in that as you in so entitling me, and no less honest than you are mad, which is enough, I'll warrant, as this world goes, to pass for honest.
Traitors, will you not push her out? This brat is none of mine, it is the issue of Polixenes. Hence with it, and together with the damn, commit them to the fire.
It is yours, and might we lay the old proverb to your charge. So like you, 'tis the worse. Behold, my lords, although the print be little, the whole matter and copy of the father, I nose lip, the trick of frown, his forehead, nay, the valley, the pretty dimples of his chin and cheek, his smiles, the very mould and frame of hand, nail, finger, and thou good goddess nature, which has made it so like to him that got it, if thou hast the ordering of the mind to, amongst all colours, no yellow int, lest she suspect, as he does, her children's not her husband's.
A gross hag, and loathsome thou'rt worthy to be hanged, that will not stay her tongue.
Hang all the husbands that cannot do that feat, you'll leave yourself hardly one subject.
Once more, take her hence.
A most unworthy and unnatural lord can do no more.
I'll have thee burnt.
I care not. It is an heretic that makes the fire, not she which burns it. I'll not call you tyrant, but this most cruel usage of your queen, not able to produce more accusation than your own weak, hinged fancy, something savours of tyranny, and will ignoble make you, yea, scandalous to the world.
On your allegiance, out of the chamber with her. Away with her!
I pray you, do not push me. I'll be gone. Look to your babe, my lord. Tis yours. Jove sent her a better guiding spirit. What needs these hands? You that are thus so tender o'er his follies will never do him good, not one of you. So, farewell, we are gone.
Antigonus, come hither. You that have been so tenderly officious to save this bastard's life, for tis a bastard, so sure as this beard's grey. What will you adventure to save this brat's life?
Anything, my lord. I'll pawn the little blood which I have left to save the innocent. Anything possible.
It shall be possible. Swear by this sword, thou wilt perform my bidding.
I will, my lord.
Mark and perform it, seest thou? For the fail of any point in't shall not only be death to thyself, but to thy lewd-tongued wife, whom for this time we pardon. We enjoin thee, as thou art liegeman to us, that thou carry this female bastard hence, that thou bear it to some remote and desert place quite out of our dominions, that there thou leave it without more mercy to its own protection and favour of the climate. As by strange fortune it came to us, I do in justice charge thee on thy soul's peril and thy body's torture, that thou commend it strangely to some place where chance may nurse or end it. Take it up.
I swear to do this, though a present death had been more merciful. Come on, poor babe. Some powerful spirit instruct the kites and ravens to be thy nurses. Wolves and bears, they say, casting their savageness aside, have done like offices of pity. Sir, be prosperous in more than this deed does require. And blessing against this cruelty, fight on thy side, poor thing condemned to loss.
It is His Highness' pleasure that the Queen appear in person here in court. Silence!
Read the indictment.
Hermione, Queen to the worthy Leontes, King of Sicilia, thou art here accused and arraigned of high treason in committing adultery with Polixenes, King of Bohemia, and conspiring with Camillo to take away the life of our sovereign lord, the king, thy royal husband.
If powers divine behold our human actions as they do, I doubt not then but innocence shall make false accusation blush and tyranny tremble at patience. You, my lord, best know, who least will seem to do so, my past life hath been as continent, as chaste, as true, as I am now unhappy. I appeal to your own conscience, sir. Before Polixenes came to your court, I was in your grace, how merited to be so. For Polixenes, with whom I am accused, I do confess I loved him as in honor he required, with such a kind of love as might become a lady like me, with a love even such, so and no others, yourself commanded. Now for conspiracy. I know not how it tastes, though it be dished for me to try how. All I know of it is that Camillo was an honest man, and why he left your court, the gods themselves, wotting no more than I, are ignorant.
You knew of his departure, as you know what you have undertaken to do in his absence.
Sir, you speak a language that I understand not. My life stands in the level of your dreams, which I'll lay down.
Your actions are my dreams. You had a bastard by Polixenes, and I but dreamed it. As you were past all shame, those of your fact are so past all truth, which to deny concerns more than avails. For as thy brat hath been cast out, like to itself, no father owning it, which is indeed more criminal in thee than it, so thou shalt feel our justice, in whose easiest passage look for no less than death.
Sir, spare your threats. The bug that you would fright me with I seek. To me can life be no commodity. The crown and comfort of my life, your favour, I do give lost, for I do feel it gone, but know not how it went. My second joy, the first fruits of my body, from his presence I am barred like one infectious. My third comfort, starred most unluckily, is from my breast the innocent milk in its most innocent mouth, haled out to murder. Myself on every post proclaimed a strumpet, with immodest hatred the childbed privilege denied, which longs to women of all fashion. Lastly, hurried here to this place in the open air before I have got strength of limit. Now, my liege, tell me what blessings I have here alive that I should fear to die. Therefore proceed. But yet hear this, mistake me not, no life, I prize it not a straw. But for mine honour, which I would free, if I shall be condemned upon surmises, all proof sleeping else but what your jealousies awake, I tell you 'tis rigour and not law. Your honours all, I do refer me to the oracle. Apollo be my judge.
This your request is altogether just. Therefore bring forth, and in Apollo's name, his oracle.
Break out the seals and read.
Hermione is chaste. Polixenes blameless, Camillo a true subject, Leontes a jealous tyrant, his innocent babe truly begotten, and the king shall live without an heir if that which is lost be not found.
Praised. Now blessed be the great Apollo.
Praised.
Hast thou read truth?
Aye, my lord, even so as it is here set down.
There is no truth at all in the oracle. The session shall proceed. This is mere falsehood.
My lord, the king!
king!
What is the business?
Oh, sir, I shall be hated to report it. The prince, your son, with mere conceit and fear of the queen's speed, is gone.
How gone?
He is dead.
Oh.
Apollo's angry, and the heavens themselves do strike at my injustice.
Oh, queen!
Another.
This news is mortal to the queen. Look down and see what death is doing.
Take her hence. Her heart is but all charged. She will recover. I have too much believed my own suspicion. Beseech you tenderly apply to her some remedies for life.
Poor lady. Poor lady.
Apollo, pardon my great profaneness against thine oracle. I reconcile me to Polixenes. New woo my queen. Recall the good Camillo, whom I proclaim a man of truth, of mercy. How he glisters through my rust, and how his piety does my deeds make the blacker.
Woe the while! Oh, cut my lace, lest my heart cracking it break too.
What fit is this, good lady?
Oh, lords, when I have said, cry woe, the queen, the sweet's dearest creature's dead. And vengeance for it not dropped down yet. Oh, thou tyrant, do not repent these things, for they are heavier than all thy woes can stir. Therefore betake thee to nothing but despair. 1,000 knees, 10,000 years together, naked fasting upon a barren mountain and still winter, in storm perpetual, could not move the gods to look that way thou wert.
Say no more.
Go on. Thou canst not speak too much. I have deserved all tongues to talk their bitterest.
Howe'er the business goes, you have made fault to the boldness of your speech.
I am sorry for it. All faults, when I shall come to know them, I do repent. Alas, I have shown too much the rashness of a woman. He is touched to the noble heart. What's gone? And what's past help should be past grief. Now, good my liege, sir, royal sir, forgive a foolish woman. The love I bore your queen, no fool again. I'll speak of her no more, nor of your children. I'll not remember you of my own lord, who is lost too. Take your patience to you. And I'll say nothing.
Thou didst speak but well when most the truth, which I deceive much better than to be pitied of thee. Prithee bring me to the dead bodies of my queen and son. One grave shall be for both. Upon them shall the causes of their death appear, and to our shame perpetual. Once a day I'll visit the chapel where they lie, and tears shed there shall be my recreation. So long as nature will bear up with this exercise, so long I daily vow to use it. Come and lead me to these sorrows.
Antigonus and the baby Perdita are wrecked on the Bohemian shore. Antigonus is killed by a bear. Perdita is found by an old shepherd who brings her up as his daughter. 16 years pass. It is the time of the ancient celebration of sheep shearing in Bohemia.
When daffodils begin to peer with hey the doxy over the dale, why then comes in the sweet of the year, for the red blood rains in the winter's pale. My father named me Autolycus, who, being as I am, littered under Mercury, was likewise a snapper up of unconsidered trifles. The lark, the tirra-lirra chants with hay, the thrush and the jay are summer songs for me and my aunts while we lie tumbling in the hay. I have served Prince Florizel, and in my time wore 3 pile, but now I am out of service. But shall I go mourn for that, my dear? The pale moon shines by night, and when I wander here and there, I then do most go right. Ah.
Let me see, every 11 weather tods, every tod yields pound and odd shilling, 1,500 shorn, what comes the wool to?
If the spring's old, the cock's mine.
Oh, that ever I was born.
In the name of me.
Oh, I am robbed, sir, and beaten, my money and apparel taken from me, and these detestable things put upon me.
Oh, lend me thy hand, I'll help thee. Come, lend me thy hand.
Oh, good sir, tenderly, oh.
Alas, poor soul.
Oh, good sir, softly, good sir. Oh, I fear, sir, my shoulder blade is out.
Oh, no, can't stand.
Softly, dear sir. Good sir, softly. You have done me a charitable office.
Dost lack any money? I have a little money for thee.
No, good sweet sir, no. I beseech you, sir, I have a kinsman not past 3/4 mile hence, under whom I was going. I shall there have money or anything I want. Offer me no money, I pray you. That kills my heart.
What manner of fellow was he that robbed you?
Oh, a fellow, sir, that was once a servant of the prince. I cannot tell, good sir, for which of his virtues it was, but he was certainly whipped out of the court. And having flown over many knavish professions, he settled only in rogue. Some call him Autolic.
Out upon him? Prig, for my life, prig? He haunts wakes, fairs and bear baits?
Ah, very true, sir. That's the rogue that put me into this apparel.
Not a more cowardly rogue in all Bohemia. If you had but looked big and spit at him, he'd a run.
Oh, I must confess to you, sir, I am no fighter. I am false about that way, and that he knew I warrant him. Oof.
How do you know?
Oh, sweet sir, much better than I was. I can stand and walk. I will even take my leave of you and pace softly towards my kinsman.
Shall I bring thee on the way?
No, good faith, sir. No, sweet sir.
Then fare thee well. I must go buy spices for our sheep shearing.
Prosper you, sweet sir. Your purse is not hot enough to purchase your spice. I'll be with you at your sheep shearing too. If I make not this cheek bring out another, and the shearers prove sheep, let me be unrolled, and my name put in the book of virtue.
Jog on the footpath way, and merrily hint the style up. A merry heart goes on the day you're set. As in a manner.
Prince Florizel, son of Polixenes, has fallen in love with Perdita. He has come to the celebration disguised as a shepherd.
I bless the time when my good falcon made her flight across thy father's ground.
Now, Jove, afford you cause. To me the difference forges dread. Your greatness hath not been used to fear. Even now I tremble to think your father by some accident should pass this way as you did.
Thou dearest Perdita, with these forced thoughts I prithee darken not them a feast. See your guests approach. Address yourself to entertain them sprightly, and let's be red with mirth.
Among the guests are Polixenes and old Camillo in disguise. They are looking for Prince Florizel.
Sir, welcome. It is my father's will I should take on me the hostesship of the day. You're welcome, sir. Give me those flowers there, Dorcas. Reverend sirs, for you there's rosemary and rue. These keep seeming and savour all the winter long. Grace and remembrance be to you both. And welcome to our shearing.
Come, our dance, I pray. Your hand, my Perdita.
This is the prettiest low-born lass that ever ran on the greensward. Nothing she does or seems but smacks of something greater than herself. Too noble for this place.
He tells her something that makes her blood look out. Good sooth, she is the queen of curds and cream.
Pray, O good shepherd, what fair swain is this which dances with your daughter?
They call him Doricles, and boasts himself to have a worthy feeding. He says he loves my daughter. I think so, too. For never gaze the moon upon the water, as he'll stand and read, as 'twere, my daughter's eyes. And to be plain, I think there is not half a kiss to choose who loves another best.
She dances featly.
Oh, master, if it but you the peddler at the door, you would never dance again after a tabor and pipe. No, the bagpipe would not move you. He sings several tunes faster than you'll tell money. He utters them as he had eaten ballads, and all men's ears grew to his tunes.
He could never come better. Prithee bring him in and let him approach singing.
Or warn him that he used no scurrilous words in his tunes.
Lawn as white as driven snow, cypress black as air was crow, clouds as sweet as damask roses, mask for faces, and for noses, bugle, bracelets, necklace, amber, perfume for a lady's chamber, golden quartz and star curse, for my lads to give their dears, pins and poking sticks of steel, what maids lack from head to heel, come by, of me, come by, by lads or else your lasses cry, come by.
Come, you promised me a tawdry lace and a pair of sweet gloves.
Mopsa, Have I not told thee how I was cousined, by the way, and lost all my money?
And indeed, sir, there are cousiners abroad. Therefore, it behoves men to be wary.
Fear not, thou man. Thou shalt lose nothing yet.
I hope so, sir, for I have about me many parcels of charge.
Oh, what hast here, ballads?
This is a merry ballad, but a very pretty one.
Let's have some merry ones.
Why, this is a passing merry one, and goes to the tune of Two Maids Wooing a Man. There's scarce a maid westward, but she sings it. 'Tis in request, I can tell you.
Oh, we'll have this song out and on by ourselves. Yeah. My father and the gentleman are in sad talk, and we'll not trouble them. Come, bring away thy pack after me. Wenches, I'll buy for you both. Peddler, let's have the first choice. Follow me, girls.
And you shall pay well for it.
Will you buy any tape or lace for your cape, my dainty duck, my dear? Any silk, any thread, any toys for your head, or the news and fines, fines wearer? Come to the peddler, money's a meddler that doth utter all men's wearer.
How now, fair shepherd? Your heart is full of something that does take your mind from feasting. Sooth, when I was young and handed love as you do, I was wont to load my she with necks. I would have ransacked the peddler's silken treasury and have poured it to her acceptance. You have let him go and nothing marted with him.
Old sir, I know she prizes not such trifles as these are. The gift she looks from me are packed and locked up in my heart, which I have given already but not delivered. Oh, hear me breathe my life before this ancient sir, who it should seem hath sometimes loved. I take thy hand, this hand as soft as dove's down and as white as it, or Ethiopian's tooth, or the fan snow that's bolted by the northern blasts twice o'er.
What follows this? How prettily the young swain seems to wash the hand was fair before. I have put you out, but your protestation, let me hear what you profess.
Do and be witness to it.
And this my neighbour too?
And he, and more than he. And men, the earth, the heavens, and all, that were I crowned the most imperial monarch thereof most worthy, were I the fairest youth that ever made eyes swerve, had force and knowledge more than was ever man's, I would not prize them without her love. For her, employ them all, commend them and condemn them to her service or to their own perdition.
Fairly offered.
This shows a sound affection.
But my daughter, say you the like to him.
I cannot speak so well, nothing so well, no, nor mean better. By the pattern of mine own thoughts, I cut out the purity of his.
Take hands, a bargain, and friends unknown, you shall bear witness to it. I give my daughter to him, and will make her portion equal his.
Oh, that must be of the virtue of your daughter. One being dead, I shall have more than you can dream of yet. Enough, then, for your wonder. But come on, contract us for these witnesses.
Come, your hand, and daughter yours.
Soft, swain, a while, beseech you. Have you a father?
I have, but what of him?
Knows he of this?
He neither does nor shall.
Methinks a father is at the nuptial of his son a guest that best becomes the table. Reason my son should choose himself a wife, but as good reason the father, all whose joy is nothing else but fair posterity, should hold some counsel in such a business.
I yield all this. But for some other reasons, my grave sir, which tis not fit you know, I not acquaint my father of this business.
Let him know it.
He shall not.
Prithee, let him.
No, he must not.
Let him, my son. He shall not need to grieve at knowing of thy choice.
Come, come, he must not. Mark our contract.
Mark your divorce, young sir.
The king.
Whom son I dare not call. Thou art too base to be acknowledged. Thou, a scepter's heir that thus affects a sheephook. Thou, old traitor, I am sorry that by hanging thee I can but shorten thy life 1 week. And thou, fresh piece of excellent witchcraft, who of forced must know the royal fool thou copest with.
My heart.
I'll have thy beauty scratched with briars and made more homely than thy state. For thee, fond boy, if I may ever know thou dost but sigh that thou no more shalt see this neck, as never I mean thou shalt, we'll bar thee from succession, not hold thee of our blood, no, not our kin. Mark thou my words. Follow us to the court.
Florizel disobeys his father. Encouraged by Camillo, he escapes with Perdita to the court of Leontes.
One that gives out himself Prince Florizel, son of Polixenes, with his princess, she the fairest I have yet beheld, desires access to your high presence.
What with him? He comes not like to his father's greatness. His approach, so out of circumstance and sudden, tells us 'tis not a visitation framed, but forced by need and accident. What train?
But few, and those but mean.
His princess, you say, with him?
Aye, the most peerless piece of earth, I think, that e'er the sun shone bright on.
Go yourself, assisted with your honored friends. Bring them to our embracement. Still, it is strange he thus should steal upon us.
Had our prince, jewel of children, seen this hour, he had paired well with this lord. There was not full a month between their births.
Prithee no more, cease. Thou knowest he dies to me again when talked of. Sure, when I shall see this gentleman, thy speeches will bring me to consider that which may unfurnish me of reason. There, come. Your mother was most true to wedlock, prince. For she did pinch your royal father off conceiving you. Were I but 21, your father's image is so hit in you, his very heir, that I should call you brother, as I did him, and speak of something wildly by us performed before. Most dearly welcome. And your fair princess, goddess, oh, alas, I lost a couple that twixt heaven and earth might thus have stood begetting wonder, as you gracious couple do. And then I lost, all mine own folly, the society, amity too, of your brave father, whom, though bearing misery, I desire my life once more to look on him.
By his command have I here touched Sicilia, and from him give you all greetings that a king at friend can send his brother. And but infirmity, which waits upon worn times, hath something seized his wished ability, he had himself the lands and waters twixt your throne and his measured to look upon you, whom he loves, he bade me say so, more than all the sceptres and those that bear them living.
Oh, my brother, good gentleman, the wrongs I have done thee stir afresh within me, and these thy offices, so rarely kind, are as interpreters of my behind-hand slackness. Welcome hither, as is the spring to the earth. And hath he too exposed this paragon to the fearful usage, at least ungentle, of the dreadful Neptune? To greet a man not worth our pains, much less the adventure of her person.
Good my lord, she came from Libya.
The blessed gods purge all infection from our air whilst you do climate here. Such goodly things as you.
Most noble sir, that which I shall report will bear no credit, were not the proof so nigh. Please you, great sir, Bohemia greets you from himself by me. Desires you to attach his son, who has his dignity and duty both cast off, fled from his father, from his hopes, and with a shepherd's daughter.
Where's Bohemia? Speak.
Here in your city. I now came from him. I speak amazedly, and it becomes my marvel and my message. To your court, whilst he was hastening, in the chase, it seems, of this fair couple, meets he on the way the father of this seeming lady and her brother, having both their country quitted with this young prince.
Camillo has betrayed me, whose honor and whose honesty till now endured all weathers.
Laid so to his charge. He's with the king, your father.
Who, Camillo?
Camillo, sir. I spake with him. Who now has these poor men in question? Never saw I wretches so quake.
Oh, my poor father. The heavens set spies upon us. We'll not have our contract celebrated.
You are married?
We are not, sir. Nor we like to be. The stars I see will kiss the valleys first. The odds for high and lows are like.
My lord, is this the daughter of a king?
She is, when once she is my wife.
That once, I see, by your good father's speed, will come on very slowly. I am sorry, most sorry. You are broken from his liking, now you are tied in duty. And as sorry your choice is not so rich in worth as beauty, that you might well enjoy her.
Dear, look up. Though fortune visible an enemy should chase us with my father, power no jot hath she to change our loves. Beseech you, sir, remember since you owed no more to time than I do now, with thought of such affection, step forth, mine advocate. At your request, my father will grant precious things as trifles.
Would you do so? I beg your precious mistress, which he counts but a trifle.
Sir, my liege, your eye hath too much youth in't. Not a month before your queen died, she was more worth such gazes than what you look on now.
I thought of her, even in these looks I made. But your petition is yet unanswered. I will to your father. Your honor not overthrown by your desires, I am friend to them and you. Upon which errand I now go toward. Therefore follow me, and mark what way I make. Come, good my lord.
The old shepherd reveals how he found Perdita, and she is proved to be the daughter of Leontes and Hermione. Leontes, Polixenes, Florizel, Perdita and Camillo visit the chapel in Paulina's house to see the statue of Hermione.
Masterly done. The very life seems warm upon her lip.
The fixture of her eye has motion in it, as we are mocked with art.
My lord's almost so far transported that he'll think anon it lives.
Oh, sweet Paulina, make me to think so 20 years together. No settled senses of the world can match the pleasure of that madness. Let it alone.
I am sorry, sir. I have thus far stirred you, but I could afflict you farther.
Do, Paulina, for this affliction has a taste as sweet as any cordial comfort.
Music, awake her, strike. 'tis time. Descend, bestow no more. Approach, strike all that look upon with marvel. Come, I'll fill your grave up. Stir, nay, come away. Bequeath to death your numbness, for from him dear life redeems you. You perceive she stirs? Start not. Her action shall be holy, as you hear my spell is lawful. Do not shun her until you see her die again, for then you kill her double. Nay, present your hand. When she was young, you wooed her. Now in age is she become the suitor.
Oh, she's warm. If this be magic, let it be an art lawful as eating.
She embraces him.
She hangs about his neck. If she pertain to life, let her speak too.
Aye, and make it manifest where she has lived, or how stolen from the dead.
That she is living, were it but told, you should be hooted at like an old tale. But it appears she lives, though yet she speak not. Mark a little while. Please you to interpose, fair madam. Kneel and pray your mother's blessing. Turn, good lady. Our Perdita is found. You gods, look down, and from your sacred vials pour your graces upon my daughter's head. Tell me, mine own, where hast thou been preserved? Where lived? How found thy father's court? For thou shalt hear that I, knowing by Paulina that the oracle gave hope thou wast in being, have preserved myself to see the issue.
There's time enough for that, lest they desire upon this push to trouble your joys with like relation.
Go together, you precious winners all. Your exaltation partake to every one. I, an old turtle, will wing me to some withered bough, and there my mate that's never to be found again lament till I am lost.
Oh, peace, Paulina. Thou shouldst a husband take by my consent, as I by thine a wife. This is a match and made between by vows. Thou hast found mine, but how is to be questioned? For I saw her as I thought dead, and have in vain said many a prayer upon her grave. I'll not seek far, for him I partly know his mind, to find thee an honorable husband. Come, Camillo, and take her by the hand, whose worth and honesty is richly noted, and here justified by us, a pair of kings. Let's from this place. What? Look upon my brother. Both your pardons, that ere I put between your holy looks my ill suspicion. This your son-in-law and son unto the king, whom heaven's directing is troth plight to your daughter. Good Paulina, lead us from hence, where we may leisurely each one demand an answer to his part, performed in this wide gap of time since first we were dissevered. Hastily lead away.